Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. As Psalms 11:19-93 says, I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. Think about that as you're going through your day today. And welcome back, folks. Tonight on the conversation, the horrible attacks on Syria. I want to get into that. And Trump had, I guess, plans and South America, and he's canceled them to deal with this. I'm going to get into that. Also, I'm sick and tired of my tax dollars being wasted as Mueller is still going after this Russia BS. I'll be talking about that. Wow, it's hard to believe. Opening day at Wrigley Field, they had a snow storm, so they canceled opening day. Scott plans on holding many press conferences. Basically, he's going to run for Senate in Florida. And we need to get a stronghold for November so we can keep the Trump train moving forward. Mark Zuckerberg was talking about Facebook on Capitol Hill, and he sounds like a politician. I don't know. Him hawing around, sort of like the tobacco industry did when they were getting called to Washington, D.C., I believe nicotine is not addictive. I too believe it's not addictive. I don't know. It's safe, but none of you smoked it, you know. Same bull. He is the founder, CEO, and runs the thing, and he didn't know half the, he can't answer half the questions. There's a lady, this, you can't make this story up. There's a Florida lady who actually, believe it or not, blamed the wind for having cocaine in her purse. I'll get to that story. It's a sickening story of a woman in Arizona who is now looking at jail, and her kids have been taken away from her after they ate. She made a macaroni and cheese with THC in it, and when she did that, guess what? One of the kids got into it, and I'm going to get into all that. And plus, some Champions League news and Premier League news. So thank you for tuning into the conversation. Thank you for having me back. As many of you may not know, I got the word out as best I could. I took about a week and a half hiatus because I had a severe nasal sinus infection and I couldn't speak and I was so sick. And around that same time, my wife has been in the hospital and I almost lost her. And, you know, my wife and my health come before the conversation. And though I love this and I love my audience and you listeners, you know, when my wife is in the hospital, she comes first. You know, we learn the true meaning of Easter because Jesus died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And, you know, and we experienced that firsthand spinning because Easter in Indiana fell as it did everywhere on April Fool's Day, and that night we had a blizzard, we had a snowstorm, and being in a fifth floor whole hospital room was not a way to spend Easter. But that's why I have not been on the air, so, and that's why for a while I postponed my show, and I just finally was so sick I couldn't do it. I'm going to get into this because I watched about an hour and a half of the Mark Zuckerberg testimony on Capitol Hill, and he reminded me of, like, the tobacco industry and these politicians when they're being investigated for Fast and Furious and all this stuff. It's one of those things where, okay, if I delete my profile, is it gone? how long does it take? I don't, you know, what we do is, thank you, Senator, and what we do is we try to take, if you delete your profile on there, there's two ways, well, technically two ways you can do it. One, you can just suspend your account to where later you can come back, but I really don't know if you actually delete your account, how long it takes before it's all deleted. And we want to make sure that if you delete your account, that your stuff is deleted 100%, but I can't give you how long it takes. I don't know. I'm the CEO. I'm the founder. I started the company, but I can't answer any of the questions.
I haven't answered for anything.
No.
Much,
no, I don't know how long it takes. You're the president. You could say, okay, a month ago, if you deleted your account, this is how quickly it went. It may have gotten faster with newer technologies or newer ways of doing things. Basically, I look like this. If I'm going to put it on Facebook, I don't care who knows it. I don't care who sees it. I don't care who reads it. If your life's that boring that you have to follow mine, then great. Hey, your life's so bad, you got to follow mine. You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm one of those people that have never understood the obsession over celebrities. You know, where people sit there and like sit outside their house and the paparazzi. I've never understood, you know. I like Ginger Baker, you know, amazing drummer. I love Neil Peart, but I don't care where they live. I don't care what they do. They're human beings like me. Yeah, I have people come up and talk to me and wanna, okay, well, what do you think about this or that or whatever? And if I'm in the mood, I'll talk whatever. I'll talk about whatever with whoever. But if I'm not in the mood, you know, if I'm out with my wife, I have a life. And I will say this. I want to just, me and my wife, and I actually got someone to support me on, back me on this one. But me and my wife, we actually finally had a date night for the first time, and my wife's still not 100%. I'm 99%. But we went and saw, I Can Only Imagine last night, and I put this on my Facebook. Does anyone else feel like when they go to like Eastside Nine or one of the movie theaters, next time I go, I'm bringing my earplugs. I'm not even joking. It's so loud. And I remember one time I went to the manager and said something, and he goes, well, the previews and all that, the volume is set. We can't adjust that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I'm one step away, sir, from, well, if the volume doesn't go down during the movie, I'm one step away from, if you can't give me a refund, that's fine. I just will not come back. It was just that loud. It's just, I remember they used to have that old saying from the Kiss t-shirts that if it's too loud, you're too old. And they used to always say, well, if you're too old, then wouldn't you need it loud so you could hear it? But I don't know, ever since that Striper concert where I've had, like, my ears are super sensitive. Could be just me, but if anyone else out there, you know, goes to the movie theaters and has issues, I will say that movie, I was told, bring about 10 boxes of Kleenexes, you'll need it. It was very emotional, but it wasn't a tearjerker to me. But it was great. Well done. It was well written. You know. But, you know, I'm a human like everyone, so, and we all have different. When you go to the movies, some people think, oh, it ain't loud enough. And other people probably think it's way too loud. And, you know. But, I mean, it's just, if you hear 5 minutes of the Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg on Capitol Hill, you heard 90% of the testimony. Because he's kind of like, well, I don't know. He hem-hawed around, like, okay. He couldn't give specifics, which I think you should be able to. You know, if you can't, you should at least be able to say, well, Okay, 3 months ago, this is if I do, we put up bogus accounts and we deleted them to see how quickly this stuff is gone. And this is how long it took. It may be different, it may vary, but this is the approximate time. I run this company, I know this stuff. He does not want iota try to end. He is very liberal, and he's not, and we try to keep bias out of Facebook in terms of, you know, the deleting of conservative stuff. That's BS. They have Diamond and Silk's account was froze or deleted. They've done stuff to curve conservatives, and they're going to continue to do that. I don't see him change in one iota. He's acting like he doesn't know anything when he should know, because he owns the company. He runs it. He founded it. But no one wants to take responsibility anymore. It's like when they had the tire fiasco with Bridgestone and Firestone. No one wanted to take responsibility. I would have backed Bridgestone and Firestone. Yep. We're taking the blame. We had a lapse in judgment, an error. This happened. We're going to make sure it never happens again. We're going to put 55 walls up. But when they both, you know, tried to push the blame, well, good gosh, I mean, we're perfect. No one's perfect, dude, except for Jesus. But, okay. I don't know if you've heard, but about the chemical attacks in Syria. Huge, huge. It's scary. Because I guess Trump had meetings in South. He had, like, stuff he's going to do in South America and pass, you know, put it all down because of these attacks in Syria. And we're wanting answers to find out what happened. And I guess if we respond to this, Trump's buddy Putin says they're going to retaliate. Russia's going to do something if we try to do deadly fool. We got to do something. We got a president that's going to have some balls and say, okay, if you're going to gas innocent people, this is not a simple act of nothing happening. Well, North Korea might do something. This is something has happened, and we're going to stand behind our president and hopefully get answers to find out who's responsible, to find out who did these chemical attacks in Syria, who's responsible. He's going to do his due diligence. And I have said in the past, okay, like if North Korea, if they attacked us first, why didn't Trump do something? But then if he did something first, they would say, oh, look, here we go, another president, another war. This is not something we want. He's having to deal with 8 years of Obama's mess and trying to clean up after it. That's the problem. Just like Bill Clinton, he wanted to see as a president that when he was in office, nothing bad. He didn't have to go to war. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to. And that's sad. It's sad, you know, that no one wants to go to war at all. No one wants to do anything. But when you have a chemical attack on a group of people, innocent, something has to be done. Something has, in my opinion, has to be done to stop this from happening, because it's only a matter of time before that happens, before they say, okay, it was only Syria. Well, then it's only New York City or only the United States. And something has to be, they need to let people know that this is not going to be tolerated, that we support freedom. Of course, as many of people have heard, and this has been on various news outlets, that Russia blames Israel for the deadly airstrikes on Assad air base after alleged chemical attacks. When we get intelligence and try to find out what's going on, that's got to change. We got to find out, and we have a president that's going to find out, and not just peacefully act. And that's a good thing that we have a president that's going to do that. I mean, I say in the next day or so, we should have some definitive answers on who might have been involved in this, if we ever find out who. We may never know. I mean, we live in a country where we're free. And what's wrong for wanting that for other countries? And that's why I don't understand these kids today that they want to have your Second Amendment taken away, which guarantees every other God-given right. Some of those kids need to go to third world countries or go to Russia or go to Libya or go to some of these countries and see how great they have it and see how good they have it. Wake them up. They need to be woken up. They don't, you know, they're just stuck to the hip with their computer games and their phones. I'm glad I grew up in an era where we didn't have all this technology. So where you found out where your friends were, where all the bikes were. If there was 4 or 5 bikes, and that's where your friends were. Not sitting there at 6 years old with an iPhone 10. Heck, when I was 6 years old, I wanted the 64-count Crayola crayon box with the sharpener on the side. Well, these kids need to see what's going on around the world instead of being sheltered. And I got to be in a... let me see here. I need to be in a... we need to go to our safe space. I don't want to, you know... they only see a... because most kids only see a distorted view of the world. They only see what the Communist News Network wants them to see. And that's sad. You know, because that's a big... I mean, this is a major event, this chemical attack. This is nothing... to me, this is huge news. Not that the Facebook issue is nothing to be, you know, with personal data, but this is huge. This is people being chemically attacked. And it's only a matter... I've said this before in the program, and viewers of the program have heard this before, but I'm one of those people, and this is not downplaying anything. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, I'm surprised 9/11 didn't happen sooner. I'm surprised we didn't have an attack like 9/11 in the 80s. I was not shocked by it. I was surprised it didn't happen sooner. Not that I wanted it to happen at all. Don't hear me wrong, but it was like, I heard so many people, I never thought this could happen to us. I'm like, are you kidding me? You ever see those videos in Syria and Turkey and Iran and Egypt where they have like VW buses full of explosives that they run into a building and blow it up with suicide bombers? And they fight over a plot of land because we're from this side of this belief. We believe this land is given to us, and those people of that side of the belief believe that land was given to them, and then they fight for 1,000 years over a piece of land. I mean, not that I ever, you know, I'm just one of those people that Some of this stuff is getting too close to home. But that's why, to me, it's huge news. I mean, you ask the average 25 or 26 year old if they know that there was a chemical attack in Syria on innocent people, most of them probably wouldn't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm one of those people that I'm a political nerd, so I love, you know, election nights are my Super Bowl. And like the midterms, I love it. And to me, that this excites me. It's something that I'm into, and not everyone is. But you should know what's going on around you, but don't immerse yourself 199,000,000% into it, because then you're going to be all like paranoid 24/7. You got to live your life. But you should know enough to know what's going on around you. Know, hey, there was a bombing in Texas, if there was, or whatever the case may be. Because if you don't stand up to what's going on in this world, you're going to be like a North Korea, where you're going to think, hey, guess what? We won the World Cup. I've seen, they had a whole clip of these propaganda videos. It was North Korean news, and they showed clips of them winning the World Cup and, you know, getting every event they did in the Olympics, they won the gold medal in every event. It was hilarious. And the people there believe it, and they buy it. And that's what's going to happen here. If people don't wake up and just know the basics of what's going on around them. If you haven't heard, as I move on, folks, Rick Scott, a senator, Republican from Florida, the governor, he's looking at possibly announcing plans for a Senate run against Democratic Senator Bill Nelson, and I think we need to get people in there that are going to be seen as keeping this train moving. You know, a lot of us voted like Diamond and Silk, and a lot of us voted for Trump because we want real change. We're tired of politicians running this country. We're tired of, oh, well, yeah. Okay, let me see here. Income inequality, you have a $100 million net worth, and you're going to talk to me about income inequality? I don't think so. You pass all these laws that you don't have to abide by, but no, we're fed up. We finally feel like we have someone in there that's fighting for us. That's not a politician. I would die to have Trump's billions. I wouldn't need anymore. I wouldn't need to work again. Oh, he just went to line his pocketbooks. What do you mean line his pocketbooks? He can't line him any further. I would hate to know how much money he brings in every month. I mean, that's the problem. You have all these politicians and people like Michael Moore and all these that have billions of dollars. Oh, we're not talking about my millions, you know. We're talking about these rich Republicans. Oh, so I guess, you know, inequality only counts if you're a rich Republican. If you're a wealthy Democrat, who cares? And when you get someone like Rick Scott, we want people that are going to be seen as someone that wants to help drain the swamp. People that want to bring this country back. They want to do what's right for the American citizen. Not what's right for their pocketbook. And that's a big issue. And people are finally, you know, people are like, hey, guess what? We found someone that's smart enough to know he can't run as an independent, because then we just give Hillary Clinton the election. And he's basically an independent running in the Republican Party to win, and he won. And he's doing what we want him to do. I don't agree with how he's doing some of the stuff through executive order, just because, yeah, I love what he passed, but it's only a matter of time before someone would get in there and do a bunch of executive orders for things I don't like. You know, that's why we have the Second Amendment, so that, guess what? If we disagree with the government, we can speak our mind, and if they try to stop us, we can defend ourselves. That's why we have the Second Amendment. Because the Second Amendment guarantees every other God-given right. And I think Rick Scott is someone that's going to be a supporter of the Trump train. And, I mean, you have Democrats on the left trying to, well, we need to, I think we should consider the Democrats' tax hikes only for the politicians. I think whatever the Democrats pass, I think it should be like that. If you think the Democrat policy is going to be great, I think you should be able to choose. I think the Republicans should come up with a tax plan, and Democrats come up with a tax plan. And if you want your taxes to reflect the Democrat policy, then you put that on your thing, and your checks. If you want to pay less taxes and have more money in your paycheck, then you should be able to do that. If you think we should have tax hikes and we should pay more in taxes, then as a Democrat, you should have that right to pay more tax. They always joke about how they want to get rid of the penny. Well, let's round up. I'm like, round down. I don't care if every transaction I round down and save a penny, hey, that's a penny. Actually, I want to go back to gold and silver in our currency. I want to go back to having a dime that's melt value is 20 cents and nickels with a 9 or 10 cent melt value. I want to have valuable currency. I don't want to have cheap ass. I mean, pretty soon, we're just going to make little disc scale wood and call it money. That won't be hard to counterfeit. So I want to have real value in the currency. I mean, that's the problem in this world. We have so many people out there, pardon me, that are fed up. And it's starting to be seen. People are starting to wake up and say, yeah, that's right. You know? And I don't know how, I mean, you see these politicians that are like career politicians, and you just want to sit there and go, okay, when is enough going to be enough? When are we going to have, because I think Rick Scott was looking into at one point possibly term limits. You know, politicians don't want term limits, God forbid. You know, God forbid a politician wants to have a term limit. We have term limits for presidents for a reason. You can be whatever side of the aisle you want to be on. Just look at some of these politicians and look at their net worth before they came into office, and then look at them now. I'm going to get into this, because this is a ha-ha story, because this is funny. You can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this up. I just, with the rough couple weeks I've had, this just makes, that's why I love watching live PD. It's great, you know, some of that stuff to, it's just, but a Florida woman caught with cocaine in her purse blames it on a windy day, police say. Did her explanation go over like a breeze? A 26-year-old Florida woman claimed that a windy day was the reason why cocaine was in her bag, WPLG reported Friday. Fort Pierce authorities stopped the swerving car in late March and questioned the passenger, Teresa Posley, the station explained. Police officers smelled marijuana while going through the car. Marijuana and cocaine were discovered in bags in Posey's purse, and she reportedly said that the marijuana belonged to her. I don't know anything about the cocaine. The station quoted her as saying in a police report, it must have flown through the wind and into my purse. Well, at least she's honest about the marijuana, but I mean, really? Yeah, that whole kilo of cocaine that just blew into my purse. I don't know how that went. Yeah, the wind must have knocked open my trunk and those 10 kilos of cocaine just fell in. That's funny, though. I mean, it's just, I mean, you can't make that stuff up. Now, as many of you know, I'm a huge cannabis supporter, and this is what gets me. That's what really gets me. An Arizona mom arrested after toddler ate THC-laced mac and cheese, cops say. Alana Marie Lampert, 25, was charged with child abuse after police say her young daughter ate THC-laced macaroni and cheese. An Arizona mother was arrested Thursday after police said her young daughter ate THC-laced mac and cheese. The 25-year-old allegedly laughed when she realized her daughter, who was less than 2 years old, was experiencing side effects of THC, a chemical found in marijuana, after she ate a meal after her father. And I guess they found all kinds of cannabis butter and stuff at her house, and I guess they made it. According to police, she admitted making the mac and cheese with THC for her husband, but didn't know her daughter had ingested it. Law enforcement officials found two marijuana grow tents in the garage, numerous glass bongs and pipes, hash oil, mushrooms. Within the house's refrigerator, they found three large tubs of THC butter. Lambert was charged with one count of child abuse and is scheduled to appear in court on the 19th. I mean, you gotta have common sense. I support legalization and all that. But that's just ridiculous. You have parents that are allowed to have kids, and that's how they abuse. I don't get it. It's just sad that, you know, they have kids, and that's how they waste it. That's how they waste the life God gave them. It's sad. If you haven't heard, Mueller is still, believe it or not, going and investigating Trump. That's your tax dollars, folks, because there was when they did the White House press conference today, somebody asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders, does Trump plan to resign? And she's like, that's not a relevant question. Yes, it is. Something like that. And I'm like, I would have said, yeah, he plans to resign in 7 years. It's ridiculous, you know. It's really ridiculous to think that type of thing, you know. When's Trump going to resign? When's he going to resign? Well, when are you going to stop asking idiotic questions? How many times did you ask Obama when's he going to resign? You didn't do it. You never would. I don't understand this media. When's Trump going to resign? He needs to resign because he needs to resign. Because he's going to resign. That's why. This media would not have been able to get away with this if Obama was president. They wouldn't be asking those questions if Hillary Clinton was president. This is interesting. This is pretty new off the press. The school board overseeing majority Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida reportedly voted against taking part in a program Tuesday that would permit certain employees in the district, including some teachers, to carry guns on campus. You know, what do you think a gun-free zone does? Allows no one to be able to protect those kids. And they voted against a program that would allow people in the district, including some teachers, to carry guns to protect their students. When it happens again, don't be surprised. You don't see a guy going into a gun range to shoot people up. No, they go to a gun-free zone because no one's going to be there to stop them. This is how it works. I mean, you need to have protection for these kids. I mean, but hey, no one, when there were warning signs, no one in Broward County did anything. And then that happens, and then they try to take guns from law-abiding citizens. That's pretty nuts. I'd be like, okay, so basically you had an opportunity to vote a thing in to help protect my kids and you turned it down. I wouldn't send my kids to Berg. I wouldn't send my kids to that school. They'd be out so fast. Pretty interesting, you know, with all they've gone through, to have something that can be used as a preventative measure and that, nope. Hey, we can do something to, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to allow it to get worse. You know, don't worry. If the guy makes threats, don't investigate it. Don't do anything. Yeah, basically, I look at it like this. Oh, yeah, if you think someone's going to do something in your school, guess what? Call out and say, hey, I believe he has kilos of cocaine at his house. He'll have 50 agencies over there in 20 minutes. I'm going to get into this because this is a pretty cool story. A Brazilian fast food employee has earned high praise online for taking time out of his day to feed a customer with an arm disability. That's right. I'm not going to begin to pronounce his name. Wow, what the heck. Lamuran. Laurinha. Victoria recorded a man described as Greifus, a fast food chain in Brazil, employee at the North End Mall Food Square in Salvador, Brazil, feeding a customer with a disability of his arms and legs, she said in a translation on Facebook. And it's just neat to see him helping out a guy that has a hard time eating, and that's just awesome. I think it's cool. You know, being in the food business, that's what we're there for, to help people out and to do stuff. And I'm going to get into, because I can. I've talked about this at work with one of my coworkers. We're huge motorsports fans. I want to get into motorsports and then into football. But what was it? Let me see here. What did they got? The NASCAR Senior Cup now, where they have like the segments to become breaks. IndyCar, and I was reading, I think it was the USA Today article, where IndyCar is growing in TV ratings and NASCAR is going down. I just look at the Brickyard. The Brickyard 500, there's not hardly any. It's been a couple years since I've been, because I've always had something up, whether it's my wedding or whatever. But when I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan, I saw some of it on a big screen. When I was at a bowling alley, they had it playing, and there were huge banners in sections of seating. And I'm like, at the Indy 500, it was the 100th anniversary, granted. It was a sellout. But that's, you know, that was a bunch of bull crap, because it was like, why can't they do that? I don't know if I'd go if it was a sellout every year at the 500. It was so many people. It was nuts. I mean, it was a madhouse. It was kind of neat to go, but it was just nuts. I mean, I guess I'm so used to going there for so many years, and there was a big chunk of them when IndyCar and Open Wheel, when they split, when they had to divide, and, you know, and some people say those weren't really the 500 years, because there were some drivers that would have been, I mean, yeah, he won the 500, but that's because he didn't have this competition, you know. There were people that he would have been dominant, you know, and they went, you know, all kinds of bull crap for years. Well, you know, you won the 500 because I wasn't in it. If I'd have been there, but I did the... You know, one of those things where it was like they went back and forth with Open Wheel and Kart and all that crap. And there were many years that it wasn't as packed as it was. And I remember when they finally patched things up and got back together that first 500, there was, yeah, significant more people. And then when the 100th anniversary, they had like these like little booths that you can rent, like the Rick Mirrors thing, and you can have like catered food and stuff, and you can hang out there and do all this kind of stuff. And they had to add a ton of those because so many people wanted to do that. It goes to show you how many people just went because it's the 100th anniversary, gotta go. You know, that's the only reason I don't really. I love the 500, and I've been for 30 plus years, but it's one thing for me. But it's like so many people go just because it's the 500. They don't follow IndyCar. They don't know any, you know, and for years I'd be like, okay, well, let me see here. Okay, let me see here. Dan Walton, he is in fifth, okay, whatever. And, you know, I follow it all year long. And, you know, and then you try to talk to people, and some people you sit next to don't know anything. I'm just here for the 500. Oh, you don't follow? No. Oh, I follow it all the time. I love motorsports. I love Open Wheel, Formula One, IndyCar. Yeah, I remember when they had the Grand Am Rolex GT Sports Car Series. I was always one like, yeah, do you hand out the Rolexes? Samples? Because, like, when you go to a lot of the races, they give you, like, all kinds of souvenirs and stuff. I thought, at least when it was the Grand Am Rolex GT Sports Car Series, they might have, like, shirts or something. You know, I wasn't expecting a watch. You know, but maybe, like, a Rolex, like a Leonard, you know, like an actual, not like a Grand Am, because you could get Grand Am GT Sports Car Series Lennard, but I'm talking like an actual Rolex Lennard. You know. But, like, I'm just, NASCAR seems to be going downhill, and they keep trying to change it every year, and it just loses interest in us. And as many of you baseball fans know, they had snow at Wrigley Field. They should have played ball anyways. What the heck? But they don't. That'd be, I mean, get like an orange ball out there. Imagine trying to see a white baseball. That'd be impossible to catch a fly ball in that snow. Oh, wow. It's hard to believe. You know, but at least where I live, it's one of the first years in a long time where we've had cooler temperatures up to now. Normally, we've had, like, when February's over, when March starts, it was 70 degrees, and then, you know, people are like, well, I don't want my buds to come up, my flowers to come up, because if they come up and then we get a freeze and they die off, which happened a couple years, where we had like a week of really nice temperatures and the flowers started to come out of the ground, and then we had like a, like 4 days of freezing temperatures and then went right back up and everyone lost all their buds. But I'm not a green thumb at all. But I don't know. And I've had my share of bonsai trees. And because like, oh, I think I'll buy this. And I finally, after a while, yeah, I'll get that one. And it's like a day after I get home, it dies. It's all like 2 days later, it turned all brown. Oh, that died. You got to take care of it. I'm like, what do you mean? It's not like I had it a month and it died. It like died almost instantly. And I was watching YouTube videos on bonsai trees, and because I think they look cool as heck. And like, oh yeah, I'm going to show you how to prepare your bonsai for the winter so that you can freeze the roots so it can survive and all this. And I'm like, okay, I just want to have a tree that I can just add water to and watch it grow, you know? I don't want to have to do a lot. I mean, if I have to do more than just water it, no. And everyone I got, oh, these are all outdoor varieties. Yeah, most of them are outdoor. And I'm like, I want one inside my house. So I just gave up on them. But, what a day in the Champions League. If you haven't heard, folks, Liverpool 5-1 on aggregates, taking out Man City. Wow. Wow. They're making it to the semifinals, and Roma made it to the semifinals, stunning Barcelona. Holy cow. With the 3-0 at home win. And guess what? It's the first time in Roma's history that they made it to the semifinals. It's interesting. Champions League is getting very exciting. I can't wait for the World Cup, though. I would be mad. Because, like, I forget they spent a crap load of money to air the World Cup in the U.S. and we're not even in it. And I'm just like, you know what? I would hate it if I couldn't see the World Cup. And the reason why they bought the rights anyways, even if we wouldn't have been in it, because there's so many people here that, hey, I'm here from England or France. I live here now. I want to cheer on my nation, you know, where I'm from. It's going to be interesting. If I'd hate to be Tottenham in the English Premier League, because they got to take on a City team that is no longer in the Champions League, and They had one opportunity, and I guarantee you, City would have taken full advantage of that opportunity to grope and go off on us, because they won the title and they beat their hometown rival, United. It didn't happen. I love it. Got into the cockles of my heart to see all those Liverpool fans lose when we beat Liverpool, and the Scousers were giving us crap, and we beat them, and you know, and I had my prediction 2-1 City beating United, and when we scored that first goal, I'm like, yes, we're going to lose, but my prediction is going to be correct. And we end up winning and beating City. Because I remember in the very beginning of the game, I was listening to it at work off and on via the United Stand, and I'm like, bloody hell. What? I mean, like, some of these people don't even deserve to wear the United shirt. They're a disgrace to it. And then, like, a light switch flipped on. And guess what? We dominated the second half. And we got a lot to work on as a team with United, but my cat just came into the studio. But hey. But we're sitting there, and that first half shows we got some work to do, but then the second half shows that we can play as a team. And one thing, I'm a Mourinho in. I like the guy. The only thing I have a problem with Jose Mourinho is his not wanting youth. People have asked me what I think about Anthony Martial and all that, and is he going to sign? I've heard that he wants to be United, but he feels like he had a rough last year. This year, he's proved himself, and he's not getting the playing time. Like, Mourinho won't play him, doesn't want him, and he's like, well, I want to be here, but if I'm not going to get playing time, then I'm not going to be here. I want to be somewhere where I'm appreciated, where I'm wanted, where I want to play. And Mourinho, I guarantee you, he wants experience. He'll take Bale for 2 years of decent play and experience and sacrifice 2 decent years for, okay, when Gareth Bale in two or three years, at max 3 years, is done, who is going to follow him? Who's backing him up? Manchester United has always been about the youth, taking young players and developing them and moving them forward. Where is that? That's what I don't like about Mourinho. He's not about the youth and the development and bringing up young players. Gareth Bale, 4 years ago, I would have taken him. If Real Madrid didn't want him, why do we want him? Lionel Messi's great, but he's near the end of his tenure. 4 years ago, yeah, I would have loved to have had him. Cristiano Ronaldo, 5 years ago, I would have loved to have had him back at United. You know, I think, honestly, Martial is going to leave, not because he wants to leave, but because he feels like he's never going to get the playing time he wants at United, because Mourinho wants experience over youth. He wants to be a United... No, he don't want to be a United manager. He wants to be a Jose manager and do it the way he does it. And he's going to sacrifice success in the short term for a lot. Because let's say Jose Mourinho in 4 years decides to leave. Okay, Gareth Bale is gone. We're back to... Who do we have? Who are we playing with? Coming up through the ranks that we can say, hey, he knows the ropes. We don't have to show him. He knows United. He knows how we play. He's been there. We don't have to indoctrinate them into our style of play. But I don't see, I see him taking, he wants experience. He wants someone that in 3 years, they're going to get 2 or 3 years of good play out of him. If they get great play out of him and go from there. And you're going to sit there and say, oh, I don't want that. I want to have someone that, okay, Anthony Martial to me is one of the best players, if not the best player in the Premier League right now. And you're going to take and get rid of a great player like that for that maybe has 5 or 6 years potential just so you can take somebody that's going to give you 2 or 3 great short years. I don't get it. I don't get it, you know. I don't understand. I mean, I want to develop the players from the youth like we always have. And that's one reason why I didn't want Mourinho, because he's not a person. He will always take experience over youth. He always take that player that has two to four years left that's just going to dominate, and then he can get, I don't want that. I want to get 5 or 6 good years out of a player and develop him from 19 or 20 and move him up. And if he goes, he goes. If he stays, he stays. If he's successful, we keep him. If not, he goes. But I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of. And, you know, we're still praying for my wife. She's not out of the woods yet. So please keep her in your prayers, folks. And thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.